Appeal Number 07-1585, United States v. Daniel Catalanic. Mr. Eagle.
May it please the Court, Your Honors, good morning. I intend to be brief this morning. Part of the reason is that issue number two of this brief was based on the presumption of reasonableness, which was filed before Rita. Since the Supreme Court has come down with its decision back in June on Rita and, in fact, was against his position, that argument is really moot. And I probably a better practice would have been to file something ahead of time, but since it's been foreclosed by the Supreme Court, I would consider that waived as far as Mr. Catalanic goes. As to issue one, that is still a viable issue. Under Booker, the judge needs to first calculate the sentencing guideline, and when he does that, he still has to apply the guidelines correctly. Mr. Catalanic believes that he did not, where he applied the enhancement for the threat of death when he had already been convicted and was being sentenced for the brandishing of a weapon. Mr. Catalanic's argument is basically that the threat of death used to enhance it, the co-defendant's threat to a bank employee at a different part of the bank, is really just an extension of the brandishing of the weapon. The brandishing of the weapon itself is the threat. To have to say, in addition to pointing a shotgun at someone, do something or I'll kill you, is a bit of an excessive statement, given that there's a shotgun being pointed at you. The threat is implicit in the shotgun. The government wants to separate that and say, well, this threat was by a co-defendant, not Mr. Catalanic, and it wasn't when Mr. Catalanic had the gun. It was a different part. It's still the same course of conduct. It's still robbing the bank.
Applying the two-level enhancement here, what did that do to the guideline range for the robbery itself?
I believe it would have pushed it up by about 6 months to a year.
So
he got an additional 2 points on the...
How did that change the range?
Judge, I don't recall exactly what it had been. And I can look that up and get back to the court. I believe it moved, as I said, it moved it up to when he was already getting 7 years mandatory consecutive for the brandishing. And it's difficult to think that what the Sentencing Commission was doing was saying in one section that we're not going to enhance on the underlying offense if you have brandishing the weapon, which is a far greater offense or a far greater threat to someone than simply saying the obvious statement of, or I'll shoot when you have the gun. So for those reasons, we believe that it was inappropriate to apply, and it was excessive in its implying. He was already getting 37 months, and to tack on, or to have those two when he was getting the 7 years after, it was simply an excessive sentence in this case and a misapplication of the guidelines.
It might be a misapplication of the guidelines, but excessive sentence, I really doubt that. You know, these guidelines, I don't want to get off on my high horse here, but they are so bizarre in cases like this. The seventh case we had today, the guy who happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time when a search was going on gets 360 months in prison. 360 months. The last case we had, that's a drug case. The last case, another drug case, with a 5K1.1 reduction, he gets 270 months. Your fella is involved in an armed bank robbery. To me, that's a heck of a lot more serious than one of these drug cases. He gets 121 months.
You're going to get no argument from me that the sentencing guidelines when it comes to drug offenses are way out of whack. And even with them now lowering the crack guidelines, it's still, as a criminal defense attorney, I'll be arguing that they're excessive on the crack for years to come, I'm afraid.
But they undervalue this crime.
But I don't believe that necessarily follows. The fact that they overvalue or over-penalize drugs.
Okay, just look at this crime alone. It's an armed bank robbery, where a threat of death is made and a shotgun is displayed and used in the crime. That's more than a 9-year crime.
Judge, I understand that, which is why the Sentencing Commission and the statutes have a specific 7-year mandatory consecutive sentence for the brandishing. They have punished. And this court before has held in a case, and it was a district court case I don't have the cite. I can get that where Judge Bucklow had decided that the 7 years made it overall a 10-year sentence was too long and gave the person a month. This on the underlying, this court overruled that, saying that that was unreasonable.
Seriously,
that
so.
That doesn't mean that a misapplication of the guideline, even if your honors think it results in a sentence that's too low, doesn't mean that a judge can misapply the guidelines.
You're absolutely correct, and you might have a winning issue on misapplication of the guidelines here. But my question was, initially, was what would have been the guideline range without this two-level enhancement on the robbery, and what was it with it, and perhaps it doesn't make any difference. I don't know. He got 37 months on the robbery. Was that the low end or below?
Low end of the guidelines as applied. If there's no more questions, I can yield the floor to Mr. Donovan and then come back in rebuttal and provide you with that answer if Mr. Donovan himself doesn't already have it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Donovan.
May it please the court, counsel. Your Honor, I believe that based on an offense level of 21 as set forth in my brief, the guideline range on the count of the bank robbery was 37 to 46 months. Had the defendant...
So without it, it would have been 30 to 37 months.
Correct, Your Honor.
So he could have got the exact same sentence here without this two-level enhancement.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
And it's the government's position that, in any event, this sentence was reasonable based on all the facts that were presented to the court. But I would like to take issue with the defendant's claim that this is an inappropriate construction of the guidelines. With respect to the enhancement for a threat of death, guideline section 2K2.4 and the notes to that section specifically preclude enhancement for brandishing, possessing, or using a weapon, and do not preclude the application of an enhancement for a threat of death. And therefore, the subsection 7, the subsection F application of the threat of death enhancement under 2B3.1 and its B2F is the single enhancement criterion that is not precluded under 2K2.4. So under the construction of 2B3.1, the court properly considered a threat of death something that it was appropriate under the reading of the guidelines for the court to assess. The double counting issue is a separate issue, Your Honors, but I would say that with respect to the court's construction of the language of the guidelines, that construction is in fact the proper reading of the plain language of the guidelines. With respect to the double counting issue, Your Honors, this court has analyzed that issue, requiring that there be some separate conduct in order to apply two separate enhancements. In other words, if two enhancements are implied based on precisely the same conduct, then those enhancements are applied improperly. In this case, there is radically separate conduct that occurs on which the threat of death enhancement is applied, and separately, the defendants were convicted for the 924C, the brandishing of the shotgun. Factually here, defendant Katalinic is standing in the lobby of the bank holding a shotgun. Defendant Maltz is behind the teller counter, back at a vault, attempting to have the bank manager open the vault, and says to him, "Hurry or I'll effing shoot you." In that instance, the defendant's Maltz's statement that "I'll shoot you" on its face implies nothing about defendant Katalinic. It implies nothing about the shotgun. In fact, if defendant Maltz had said that and defendant Katalinic wasn't there, defendant Maltz could have received an enhancement for that threat of death. The defendant does not contest here that in fact that's sufficient to form a threat of death. In this instance, they're in separate locations of the bank. There's a separate actor holding the gun from the actor who is making the threat of death. The threat is on its face not related to the shotgun in any way, and there is a separate harm here. From the perspective of the bank manager, having someone generally standing in the lobby of the bank is much different than someone standing in your face saying, I'm going to shoot you. If there were a person standing at the back of this room with a shotgun, everyone in this room would be in fear. If that person approached the bench and said to one of your honors, do something or I will shoot you, I suggest that the threat of death that occurs at that moment is distinct from the individual standing somewhere else in the room. And here it's literally a separate area of the bank separated by the teller wall. For those reasons, there's no double counting that occurs in this case. And for the reasons that I previously stated, the court properly construed the plain language of the two guideline sections that are at issue in this case. And as Your Honor has pointed out, the change in the offense level could have resulted in precisely the same sentence. And ultimately, this is indeed a very reasonable sentence based upon the conduct that occurred here. And for those reasons, the government would ask that the judgment of the district court be affirmed.
We would be creating a circuit split if we were to affirm here. You acknowledge that?
Your Honor, I would say that with respect to the cases Reavy and the cases cited, although I think the analysis in those cases is less than fully developed, those cases involved an individual who himself had a weapon and himself uttered the threat. In this case, the facts of this case indicate that there is a very great distinction between the individual uttering the threat and the weapon which was punished, both again by the distance that occurs, by the fact that there are two separate actors, by the fact that the threat that is uttered doesn't make reference to, he didn't say he'll shoot you, he didn't say the guy out in the lobby is going to blow your head off with that shotgun, he said hurry or I'll shoot you. So for those reasons, I think this case is distinguishable from those. Even if there were a circuit split, Your Honor, I think this court's analysis based on the double counting issue is the proper one and is distinct from what is laid out in those cases, which I believe is just if there's any relation to a gun, and they, again, don't develop what relation means, but they say if there's any relation to the possession of the gun, then we're not going to count the threat of death separately. I think that analysis is flawed under a reading of the specific language of the guidelines that are to be applied here, and I think it's overly broad in its consideration of what is double counting. Thank you, Your Honor.
Two points. Judge, I'm well aware of what you're presenting as the issue, but even if he could have gotten the same sentence, since he did get the low end, I don't think this court should enter any kind of presumption that he would have gotten the high end had the range been lowered. I think it's just as plausible, if not more so, since he did get the low end, that Judge Holderman may have given him the low end. Secondly, as to the separate act or actors, I think, again, that the government is splitting hairs and looking too closely at what happened, in the sense of looking at an individual dot of a Surratt painting is going to show you a red dot, a blue dot, a green dot, and it's going to look different. When you step back, however, you see the entire picture. In this case, Mr. Donovan, or the government, wants to look at it, someone standing here, someone standing there, and I think what needs to be done is to look at the overall effect of coming into the bank with a shotgun, being punished for the 7 years for that, and that, I believe, is what the essence of the sentencing guidelines and the statute of punishing that act entails. And that's why we believe that the threat of death separately isn't really separate. It's all part of the same picture. For that, we would ask that you reverse this decision and send it back to Judge Holderman for resentencing. Thank you.
And thank you for accepting the appointment and so vigorously representing your client.
Thank you.
We'll take the case under advisement, and we'll be in recess till tomorrow morning.